You're listening to the Business Forum Show, broadcasting worldwide on Blog Talk Radio, on Live 365, and on the TBFS radio network. This top-ranked business radio broadcast features the obstacles and challenges that business owners endure on the road to success. On behalf of David Ford, Jeff O'Brien, Allison Lindstrom, I'm Kevin Hunter. Stay tuned. The Business Forum Show is next. TBFS Radio Network. Kevin Hunter with Jeff O'Brien here on the Business Forum Show, and we're going to talk about derivative litigation. Wow, that's a mouthful as it pertains to shareholders. So explain what that's all about.
Well, Kevin, generally, if a business entity is going to commence a lawsuit, that decision comes from either the officers or the board of directors or board of governors, as the case may be, as to whether or not they're going to proceed.
Mm-hmm.
What a derivative suit is an action that a shareholder or shareholders feel should be brought by the entity, but isn't for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're bringing it on behalf of the company. And I'm gonna read a little bit from there's a Minnesota case. It really explains well what this is.
Mm-hmm.
It says a shareholder derivative suit is a creation of equity in which a shareholder may, in effect, step into the corporation's shoes and seek in its right the restitution he could not demand in his own. Derivative suits allow shareholders to bring suit against wrongdoers on behalf of the corporation and force liable parties to compensate the corporation for injuries so caused.
Mm-hmm.
A derivative action actually belongs to the corporation, but the shareholders bring the action where the corporation has failed to take action for itself. In a derivative action, the plaintiff essentially brings two claims, one against the directors for failing to sue, and the second based upon the right belonging to the corporation. So the idea behind a derivative lawsuit, Kevin, is it's a check on potential abuses by the executives of the company. And this case was involving a corporation. Same thing for a limited liability company. You're just changing.
So these are the shareholders taking legal action against the executives in the company itself.
That's one leg of it. They're taking action. There's some reason. There's some lawsuit out there that they feel should have been brought. It could be against a third party.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They're suing under that claim, and then they're suing the board for not picking up the cudgel and bringing the action themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what derivative litigation is.
Mm-hmm.
So again, it's another one of these bundle of sticks that shareholders have. It's not just about profits and losses and the annual meeting. This is serious stuff. And it could be involving a conflict of interest transaction. Let's say that an officer was involved. Let's say the company did a transaction and with another entity that's maybe also where one of the executives is involved with, and the shareholder feels that somehow the company was injured as part of this. That's one of those things that they can do. Of course, the board's not going to bring an action to sue the company of one of its own in a deal that they approved.
Exactly.
So that's what's out there to for the shareholders and that's a good lesson to the folks that are in control, that are executives and the board members, is when you're doing these types of transactions, have you done everything to disclose and waive any conflicts? Do you think it's something that should you should put to a shareholder vote? You always see when we do different types of deals and you always have to show corporate authority when to a bank or to another party. It could be a real estate transaction or something else. That's what they're getting at, is that they have approval to do this, and they aren't going to have someone come out of the woodwork later and bring an action saying, oh, this was a bad deal. The company got screwed. I'm going to sue on behalf of the company, and I'm suing the board too.
Well, it's a good thing for executives to know that there is a level of accountability that can be exercised by the shareholders if and when they deem necessary.
Yeah, majority ownership isn't all it's cracked up to be. Management isn't always it's you could be the CEO, the sole member of the board, and 51% owner,
mm-hmm.
and you still may have headaches because mm-hmm. you've got somebody out there that owns another a minority interest that can create headaches for you if they don't like what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. So again, this goes back to just how important is it to make sure you're doing a good job of selecting the right partners for your business and not treating that casually, like as if, you know, hey, you know, you did a few things for our organization. We'll just give you some shares of stock to compensate you for your time as opposed to paying you, so to speak.
That's right. I remember an episode, I think it was of The Simpsons back during the dot-com days,
mm-hmm.
and the CEO literally had stock certificates rolled up on a toilet paper roll and was rolling them off and giving them out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's, you know, when you get going on some of these things, that's how, you know, freely some of this stuff gets thrown out there.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said, it's, you really have to think twice as to who you're bringing in. You know, a business, you know, ownership in a business is a little bit like a fraternity, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're not going to take everybody,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
or you can end up losing something very important to you. You could lose the whole business if you bring in the wrong people,
mm-hmm.
and then a dispute arises.
I think about this, and as we're talking about this, I'm like recalling many circumstances that I've known throughout my business career where a company has used stock to pay somebody as opposed to paying them a salary income for their work. And in particular, where it seems like this has been exercised more often than not, has had to do with somebody in a consulting role. And so they don't even have that great of a relationship with, is a professional person coming in, assisting the company getting over a certain hump, and because they're thinking, well, financially we're not in a place to compensate this person for what their expenses might be, and so we give them stock. They're in effect giving some fairly significant leverage to this individual.
They are, and I always put in those types of agreements, if you're giving somebody ownership in exchange for services, you want to put into the contract somewhere that in the event that the services are no longer provided,
mm-hmm.
that the company has some means of buying out those shares, and it just depends as to when the services stopped being provided. So everything from the day, you know, a day after you're given shares and you stop performing services, they can, you know, yank them for a buck,
mm-hmm.
up to, you know, maybe 5 years you're paying full value.
Mm-hmm.
But always when you do those deals where you're giving equity in lieu of cash compensation, make sure that you write in there almost like a mini buy sell into the agreement to get those shares back if something goes awry.
Mm-hmm. Good advice. Kevin Hunter with Jeff O'Brien here on the Business Forum Show. We're talking about derivative litigation and the importance of choosing your stockholders well and not just giving away shares casually in your organization. You can find reach Jeff at 612-336-9317. Again, 612-336-9317. You can also email at jobryan@bowman.com. Again, that's jobryan@bowman.com. Kevin Hunter with Jeff O'Brien here. Thanks for joining us.
I wish I had a steady job as an employee. As a business owner, I've heard myself saying that before. We opened our business and we were on our way to living the American dream. Soon afterwards, I found myself working 75 hours a week and losing tons of money. What kind of mom was I to our three young children? Fortunately, I found Action Coach Metro-North. We were able to reduce my hours in half and increase our revenue by 252% after working with my coach. If a mom like me can do it with the help of an Action Coach, why can't you?
Reclaim your life and business and go to freeactionplan.com. Let Action Coach proven system put you on a path to achieve your goals. Kick the habit of business as usual. Go to freeactionplan.com today and schedule a free action plan session. That's freeactionplan.com. Get into action today. Let Action Coach business coaching help you. freeactionplan.com.
You've been listening to the Business Forum Show, broadcasting worldwide on Blog Talk Radio, on Life 365, and on the TBFS Radio Network. On behalf of David Ford, Jeff O'Brien, and Allison Lindstrom, I'm Kevin Hunter. Thanks for listening.